Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Hey squad, welcome back to episode 82 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast. I hope you have been enjoying some of the interview episodes I have shared with you recently. Today it's just me, and I have a really cool episode ahead for you. Get ready. You might want to take some notes because I am going to share with you today three things that you need to know about packaged processed products. Are you ready? Number one, where you get them from doesn't matter. And I say this because on a recent coaching call, a client insinuated that eating a baked good from Whole Foods meant that she had made a better, healthier, more goal-supportive choice than if she had purchased the baked good elsewhere. And this is false. A baked good is a baked good, and where you get it from matters very little compared to what's in it. Ingredients matter most, which we're going to circle back around to in a second. But first, let me address the question, but isn't organic better than conventional? Because, just in case you don't know, Whole Foods is a certified organic national grocery store. And I see this often where people equate organic with being healthy. But that's not entirely the case. Yes, you might avoid some chemicals, which is great. An organic baked good is still a baked good made with sugar and butter. U.S. regulations require that organic foods are grown without growth hormones, antibiotics, modern genetic engineering, chemical fertilizers, and sewer sludge, which is cool, right? Like that all sounds good. But keep in mind that organic does not mean animals are grass-fed, humanely treated, or free to roam pastures. Organic also does not mean that something is healthy, low fat, low sugar, unprocessed, or goal supportive. So while buying organic foods is certainly a better option for the planet, it's not necessarily better for your health. Now, there are some research studies that have hinted at the fact that organic foods might have higher levels of nutrients. But unfortunately, there's not enough research to support this claim. And to date, the USDA does not claim that organically produced food is safer or more nutritious than traditionally produced foods. So here's my advice. Eat locally grown produce whenever possible. You know where it comes from. Experiment with eating your veggies raw or lightly cooked. Don't cook them till they're mush, as this gives you the optimal nutrient density. And lastly, consider what you're getting and the price that you're paying, the taste, and your priorities. If you have the money and you don't mind paying a little extra for fewer chemicals on your food, get it. Cool. But if you don't, that's okay. Do the best you can with what you have. Wash your produce when you get home, and you will be just fine. So number one, don't mistake fancy grocery stores or certain food boutiques for providing you with better, healthier food. That's not always the case. Two, nutrition labels aren't there just for fun. Use them. You're probably not in the habit of putting things in your body without knowing what they are and/or how they might affect you, right? And yet, you do that with food all the time, maybe on a daily basis. And I find too often that this is because you have no idea how to read a nutrition label, or worse,
You're trusting the claims on the front of the box, bag, or package. So naively, you're snacking on things that may or may not be serving you or your nutrition goals because of some label somebody slapped on the front. So first things first, here are labels that you see in the grocery store that mean absolutely nothing. Are you ready? Number one is natural. Skim right by this baby because there are no reliable requirements for using this label. Even things like high fructose corn syrup and rat excrement are considered natural. Technically, they come from the natural world, right? Gross, gross. Natural means nothing. Skim right over it. Two, local. I know I just encourage you to buy local produce, but you can't trust this label when you see it used at your local supermarket or your grocery, because there are no legal standards for this term. So you could be staring at fruit from Chile and the sign could still say local. So the best way to shop around this label is to hit up your local farmer's market so you know where it's coming from. Three, free range. The only specification is that chickens, as this term is largely used for eggs and poultry, must be, quote, allowed access to be outside. But there are zero specifications as to how big this outdoor area must be. So I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about 100 plus chickens squished into like a 3x3 space of dirt. That's free range. So don't put a lot of stock in that label. Speaking of chicken, number four is hormone free. This is just a marketing ploy. Hormone use is not allowed in any poultry or pork. So you don't have to pay extra for that label because all chicken is guaranteed to be free of added hormones. Did you know that? I hope I'm teaching you something. Number five, made with whole grains. Now, while this is true, a product can use this label on their packaging even if 99% of the item is made with refined grains. So it's a loophole. Made with whole grains could be like two oats thrown into a big package of a product. And the last one I'll share with you, number six, is lightly sweetened. No regulations on this guy either. So something could be loaded with sugar and still say this on the front. And these are labels that you and I, before I knew better, trust. We see it on the front. We like the way it sounds. Makes us feel healthy. So we add the thing to our cart and we go about our day. But friends, the food marketing industry wants you to do exactly that. I want you to be an educated consumer. I don't just want you to fall prey to fancy food marketing. I want you to know what you're eating, how it serves your body, how it's going to leave you feeling so you can make educated and informed choices. The best way to do that is to learn how to read a nutrition label and probably work with a nutrition coach. But let's start with the nutrition label. I just wrote a post about this last week, and it's been getting some really great feedback. So I want you to check it out. If you don't already follow me on Instagram, my IG handle at Nutrition with Nicole is in the show notes below. So you can just click on that link and scroll back a couple of posts and look for my most recent food label post. I shared six things to look for. Actually, I think I might have broken it down into five, but today I'm going to share six with you. And actually, brownie points, if you are in your house, in your kitchen, and you can go grab the closest processed packaged item within reach. And I want you to look at the label while I'm talking about these things. So again, I'm going to share six with you. The first and most important is to read the ingredients. I know it's in teeny tiny text, so you might need to get your readers out, but ingredient lists must be listed in descending order. So whatever there is the most of will be listed first. So this list tells you exactly what's in your processed packaged item. I like to look for items with as few ingredients as possible, less junk, quality over quantity, and hear me, I like to make sure that sugar isn't sneakily listed more than once, just with different names. And you'll find this on a lot of things, namely cereals and even some like crackers, cookies, etc. Because the food industry isn't stupid. They know that you might read nutrition labels. And so if you saw sugar listed first, your brain should immediately say, "Ooh, this is mostly sugar. That's probably not going to leave me feeling great. Let me put this back on the shelf." So what they do is they take agave and date syrup and sugar and all of these other names for sugar, and they separate them out so that sugar doesn't have to be listed first. And the first thing that's listed is maybe whole wheat flour or something, which sounds a whole heck of a lot better than ingredient number one being sugar. So just take a peek and see how many times you can find sugar listed. Ingredients matter most. What are you putting in your body? Take a peek at that list. Do you recognize all those things? Number two is to check out the serving information. Are you really going to eat a half a cup of ice cream? Hey, I am not here to say that you need to or should, but do make sure that you multiply the nutrition facts on the label by the number of servings that you plan to enjoy, or else you're just kidding yourself. So I see this happen a lot where a client will say, "Oh, well, I had a couple chips or I had some crackers, whatever." And they're logging that perhaps in a tracking app, but they didn't count out a serving because who wants to do that? They probably had closer to two servings or maybe even three servings. And so instead of that one serving of carbohydrates that they thought they consumed, they actually got two to three servings. Happens all the time. And I'm not here to tell you that you need to eat less. That's not what today's podcast episode is about. And it's rarely a message that I get behind, but I am telling you to be honest with yourself about how much of something you plan to consume and then be educated about how much that serving size is going to give you. Which brings me to number three. Take a peek at the calories. Calories are units of energy. So when something says, "Hey, there's 200 calories in a single serving," let's say that serving size is a half cup. If you plan to have two serving sizes, one full cup, you would multiply 200 calories by two and just be honest with yourself. Okay, this is giving me 400 calories. And even if you aren't someone who counts calories, cares to count calories, or uses some type of food tracking app, you'll still be able to know if something is going to give you a lot of calories, a lot of energy, or a little bit of energy, a few calories. So take a peek and just maybe ask yourself, is this going to leave me feeling satiated? And if so, well, maybe 400 calories is going to be totally fine and fit in my day and help me to reach my goals. But is this something where the two serving sizes I'm going to eat is barely going to make a dent in my appetite and I'm going to need to go back for two more servings? In which case, 800 calories might not feel like a super smart snack and it might actually hinder your goals. Number four, I want you then to take a peek at the macronutrients. So what is this packaged product primarily? And upon reviewing total fat, total carbs, and protein, what is the food offering you the most of? So if you have that packaged processed item in front of you, which number is the highest? Fat, carb, or protein? That's the category that that food falls into primarily. Now, most of the foods that we eat are a combination of these three macronutrients. However, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. Most packaged processed products are primarily, drumroll please, fat and carbs. So just make sure you know where your energy is coming from and how it might leave you feeling. The combination of fat and carbs, super palatable, super delicious. Who doesn't love mac and cheese or grilled cheese or linguine or pizza or all those things? Carb plus fat. Now, we know that adds up pretty quickly calorically, and because it's missing protein, it doesn't leave us feeling as satiated. So just be vigilant about what a food is offering you and how that might leave you feeling. And hey, if you don't know, it might take a little bit of trial and error. You may have to experiment and see how it feels. Number 5 is look for foods low in saturated fat, trans fat, cholesterol, sodium, and sugar. Because all of these, when consumed in excess, have been linked with increases in chronic disease. On the flip side, if something is high in dietary fiber, vitamins and minerals, it's shown to be protective against those same chronic diseases. So a nutrition label, once again, can be really, really helpful. If a food that you're looking at is super high in cholesterol and has trans fat, which is completely man-made, there's nothing natural about that, it's probably not the best option, at least if you're going to eat it often or in a large quantity. But if something has a significant amount of fiber and it's giving you lots of vitamin C or iron, those are great things that your body wants more of and will use. So take a peek. Speaking of knowing how much something is giving you, number 6 is checking out the daily value percentage. And these are the percentages that are listed on the right-hand side of that food label that have probably always confused you. But basically, this DV percentage is here to tell you whether there's a little or a lot of something included in the product. Low is considered anything less than 5%, and high is considered 20% or more. So keep in mind that these percentages are based off of a 2,000 calorie diet. So it's very generic. You may be eating more than that. You may be eating less than that, and that's okay. These percentages will still help to give you a gauge of how a specific food contributes to your daily needs. So for example, if we take a look at that daily value percentage, and in a serving, you're getting 15% of the fat that you might need for the day, well, you're going to have 2 servings. So immediately, those 2 servings, that snack, accounts for 30% of the fat that you theoretically could consume in a day. So is that maybe the best choice? I don't know. It totally depends on what else you're eating throughout the day and how that leaves you feeling. But take into account if something is super high in sodium or sugar or carbs, maybe it's not the best option for you. If something is high in protein or fiber, maybe it's going to leave you feeling more nourished. Only you know how your body feels after eating these things, but do a little bit of research. Experiment with certain snacks, with different packaged products, and then pause, be aware, mindful, and ask yourself, how does that leave me feeling? And number 3, the third thing that I want to share with you about packaged processed products is that they can be super helpful when supplementing a mostly whole food diet. Processed packaged things aren't evil, they aren't bad, nor are they inherently fattening. Now, disclaimer, yes, many packaged processed products are designed to be hyper palatable and easily overconsumed, which of course can lead to you eating more than you need, which of course leads to weight gain. So things like Doritos or chocolate chip cookies or Oreos, oftentimes my clients will say, oh, I couldn't just eat a serving. And they're designed that way. They're designed to be really tasty so that you want to keep going back for more. And so certain processed packaged products may not be something that you want to incorporate in your diet most of the time, but what I do want to share with you is that they don't need to be demonized either, because everything we eat, unless you're growing it in your backyard, is in some way processed or packaged. So don't fear these foods. You know that my objective is to get you to not fear any food and to have ultimate food freedom, but I want you to think about how certain processed packaged foods can make your life easier. For example, my clients like to eat Greek yogurt. They use protein powder, jerky, lentil rice, and lentil pasta. The list goes on and on, but there's so many options. These are all processed foods that my clients love to incorporate into their day, and I encourage them to, as long as, of course, it leaves them feeling great because they make meeting their nutrient needs easier. And remember, if the healthy choice is the easy choice, you're more likely to make it. So, a quick recap. Number one, where you get your food doesn't really matter. Certain foods will be idolized because you purchased them from a fancy grocery store. Remember, what matters most is what that food is comprised of. What are the ingredients? Which brings me to number two, nutrition labels aren't just there for fun. Use them, learn how to read them. Check out my Instagram post if you didn't take a peek at that already. And three, processed packaged products can be helpful when supplementing a mostly whole food diet. There's nothing to fear about processed packaged foods. Yes, these things are easily overconsumed. So if most of your diet is processed and packaged, maybe you start your day with instant oatmeal because you think you're doing a great job, but then you add some granola to that oatmeal. Well, that's probably a lot of carbohydrates and a lot of sugar if you compare the labels of those two things. Is that something that leaves you feeling great? It wouldn't start my day off on the right foot, but only you can know that for yourself. What about dinner? Is it a frozen meal that you reheat in the microwave? Are you snacking on chips and crisps and pretzels and crackers that come in packages that are easily overconsumed? If you sat me down with a bag of Boom Chicka Pop, kettle corn popcorn, I would easily consume like 8 servings of that because it's so delicious. And that's how it's designed to be. Now, if most of my diet comes from whole food sources, lean proteins, colorful fruits and veggies, lots of smart carbs and healthy fats, well, then I can sit down and enjoy that Boom Chicka Pop and not feel poorly as a result. And be more capable of eating within my caloric and my nutrient needs. Whereas if most of my diet was coming from processed packaged things, remember those add up in calories much faster, not to mention all those things because they need a longer shelf life, are higher in saturated fat and higher in cholesterol and sugar and salt. And so those things are going to leave a lasting mark on my health and how I feel. So check in with yourself. Where does most of your diet come from? Is there room to minimize certain processed packaged things? Would that leave you feeling better? But on the flip side, are there certain processed packaged foods that could make your life easier? Because it would mean making healthier, more goal-supportive choices more often. And if so, use them. They don't have to be the enemy. Was this helpful? Did you learn something? If so, let me know by snapping a screenshot of today's podcast episode. So many of you did that last week, and I appreciate you for sharing and spreading the good news that is no-nonsense nutrition. And if you learned anything today, I would love for you to pass this along. Share it with a friend, share it on your social media stories, and let me know what your number one takeaway was. Catch you on the flip side, squad.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.